Okay, good morning, everyone. I am very excited to be here today to talk to you about our greenhouse gas emissions study on our overwintering project at the University of Manitoba. As Rory said, my name is Gwen Donahoe. I'm a PhD student under the excellent supervision of Drs. Kim Ominski, Don Flayton, Mario Tenuta, and Karen Wittenberg. So I'm going to start off by giving you a brief introduction to overwintering beef cattle on the Canadian prairies. I'm going to talk a little bit in detail about some soil greenhouse gas emissions work I did during my master's work at the University of Manitoba, and then tie in some enteric methane emission measurements that were conducted during the same trial by a fellow master's student by the name of Jenilee Bernier. And then I'll wrap it up by talking about our current work on our overwintering project and some of the work I'll be doing in my PhD. So our beef cattle herd in Canada, over 90% of the inventory is on cow-calf operations. So this means the majority of our producers are cow-calf producers, and the majority of our cattle are these mature, pregnant beef cows. And because of our long, cold winters up in Canada, these cow-calf producers require, or they have to feed supplemental feed to these cows for up to 6 months of the year. So generally during November through to May, producers are required to feed some sort of feed because grass isn't growing. So these producers are constantly looking for cheaper sources of feed to reduce their cost of production, and different ways to reduce the other associated costs with overwintering beef cows, like trying to find ways to reduce manure buildup in the dry lots, like you can see in the one picture. So producers have been experimenting with different types of winter grazing systems. So they're trying to feed their cattle the supplemental feed out on pasture in some form, whether that be swath grazing, bale grazing, or just spreading the feed out on the pasture to distribute manure more. So our overwintering beef cattle project at the University of Manitoba is looking at trying to determine some of the environmental implications of these overwintering systems, and trying to determine what are the best ones to recommend to our producers. So the objective of my master's research was to look at soil greenhouse gas emissions from the excreta of some overwintering beef cows. We're looking at the effect of supplementing a low-quality forage diet with distillers grains, and then looking at the environmental implications of that. Particularly, I'll talk to you about the greenhouse gas emissions work. And from these same cows, I'll be presenting some enteric methane emission data that these cattle were fed the same diets over the same time period. So in order to measure greenhouse gas emissions from beef cattle excreta, you have to collect a lot of beef cattle excreta. So this was conducted in what we call our metabolism unit at our research station. And you can see in the picture, we were able to collect urine from the cows individually and feces individually from these cows. They were fed three diets. They were just brought inside for short periods of time to determine nutrient excretion rates. And the three diets, they were all based low-quality forage, and the cows were either fed 0, 10, or 20% supplementation with DDGS, a wet weight. The urine and feces I collected were then deposited out on a tame forage in mid-April. So the idea behind this was to mimic producers. So this time of the year, you can see in the picture, grass isn't growing, and producers are starting to kick their cattle out onto pastures in spring after snowmelt to try and reduce manure buildup in their dry lots. So they'll be feeding supplemental feed out on pasture, and the cows will be depositing their urine and feces out on the pasture. We also made a third treatment. We combined feces and urine according to the ratio of feces to urine produced by the cows in the diet trial, and added straw to make 23% dry matter, just to see the effect of the additional carbon source on greenhouse gas emissions. So these three patch types and the three different diets were monitored throughout from April through to September. We looked at nitrous oxide, methane, CO2, and then we monitored soil nitrate and temperature. So to give you an idea of the effect of the diets on nitrogen excretion by these animals, you can see that total nitrogen significantly increased in all three of the treatments, but more so in the urine. And I think more importantly, the proportion of available forms of nitrogen or monoclonal forms of nitrogen in the urine significantly increased with increasing DDGS supplementation. So I'm going to give you the results of our nitrous oxide emissions measured from these patches. The methane emissions were not significant, and there were no significant differences between treatment or patch type from in the methane or CO2 emissions from the patches. So as you can see, our urine patches were the most significant source of nitrous oxide, particularly the 20% supplemented diet. And this emission occurred mid-season, not following application, which is unusual. And this is what our patches looked like at that time of the year following our mid-season flux. So to try and determine what was causing this midsummer peak of nitrous oxide flux from our urine patches, this figure showing mean average air temperatures and precipitation events over the sampling period, you can see at the beginning of the year, in April, May, early June, average air temperatures are pretty low. And despite precipitation events, we're not seeing any nitrous oxide flux. But as soon as our mean average air temperature warms up, that's when we're seeing our increase in nitrous oxide. And our associated precipitation events can be associated with our peak nitrous oxide fluxes, indicating denitrification is a pretty important factor. And if we take a look at our soil nitrogen concentrations from our urine patches, you can see ammonium nitrate and nitrite soil concentrations here. Nothing's really happening during our midsummer peak. Can't really associate anything with our nitrous oxide fluxes. So I just wanted to go over quickly our cumulative N2O emissions from this, because we saw some pretty interesting things happening when we did the stats on our patches. We have, as we saw in our figures, our urine and our 20% DDGS diet were the most significant sources of nitrous oxide, but we had this interesting patch type by diet interaction. You can see that as urine, in the urine patches, as you increase DDGS supplementation, N2O flux would increase. However, we saw the opposite effect happening in our bedding pack patches. And our fecal patches actually show a negative cumulative N2O flux because they were emitting less nitrous oxide than the control. And we can see the same thing happening with our emission factors. You can see they're fairly low, even the urine patches. And we see the same interesting patch type by diet interaction. So in conclusion, from our soil greenhouse gas studies, we found increased DDGS supplementation, increased nitrogen excretion, and we saw increased soil greenhouse gas emissions. However, from the enteric methane emission study, not surprisingly, they found that increased DDGS supplementation decreased enteric methane emissions, particularly from the 20% DDGS diet. They saw that 5.3% of gross energy intake was evolved as enteric methane. So what does this mean? What do we tell our producers? We have animal scientists want to tell them to increase energy and nitrogen into their diets to reduce enteric methane, and our soil scientists are saying, no, that's not a good idea. So I have given you in this table, tried to sum up what if one cow in CO2 equivalents, if one cow deposited feces and urine on pasture on one day in mid-April, what would her contribution to greenhouse gas emissions be from either the 0 or 20% diets? And so this is enteric methane emissions from one day and the associated soil nitrous oxide emissions. We were able to calculate the amount of urine and fecal patches she would deposit in one day from our nutrient excretion rates in our diet trial. And you can see that enteric, the soil greenhouse gas emissions counteract the decrease in enteric methane emissions from the 20% DDGS diet. But it's important to remember that this is just from our urine and feces deposited on grassland from that particular management practice. We noticed from our bedding pack nitrous oxide emissions that we might not see the same effect if the cows were kept in the dry lot. So it's and this doesn't include any measurement of our indirect losses of nitrogen from this excreted deposition. So it's a pretty complicated system, and we've only just started measuring small portions of this overwintering system. So we're going to continue working on looking at different feed sources and overwintering management practices. This winter we ran a bale grazing trial, and we're comparing it to an intensive or a dry lot management system. We want to track carbon, nitrogen, and phosphorus through these systems, trying to determine which is the most nutrient and energy efficient system, combine that with our greenhouse gas work, and try to figure out what's the most appropriate BMPs to recommend to our producers. So I look forward to presenting more of this work to you in the future, and thank you.